This is HPR episode 2669 entitled Additional Ancillary Bash Tips 12 and is part of the series Bash Scripting. It is hosted by Dave Morris and is about 28 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is Making Decisions in Bash, Part 4.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello everybody, this is Dave Morris, and welcome, as usual, to Hacker Public Radio. So I'm doing another show today about making decisions in Bash. And this is the 12th episode in the Bash Tips sub-series, and it's the fourth of a group of shows about this subject of making decisions in Bash. In the last three episodes, we saw the types of tests that Bash provides. We looked briefly at some of the commands that use these tests. We looked at conditional expressions and all of the operators Bash provides to do it. And we concentrated on string comparisons, which use glob and extended glob patterns, which was a novelty as far as I was concerned. I have to say, I hadn't really appreciated that was a capability until I dug into it. But this time we want to look at the other form of string comparison using regular expressions. Now, the regular expression feature appeared in Bash around 2004 in Bash version 3. They can only be used in extended tests. That's the ones where you use double square brackets around your expression. And it took a few sub-versions of Bash before this regular expression feature stabilized. This is me looking back through the history of what happened. So it's just to warn you that if you are researching the subject and find old regular expression examples, make sure that what you're looking at refers to versions greater than 3.2. So in order to use regular expressions, you use a new operator, which is an equals followed by a tilde. And that's used in other languages. Perl is one that springs to mind, but that seems to have been accepted as a regular expression operator. The string or the variable to be matched, usually be a variable of course, is on the left side of the operator, the equals tilde operator, and the regular expression on this itself is on the right. It's never the other way around. So I've got, first of all, a simple example of the use of a regular expression in Bash, and of course I'm referring forward to things I'm going to explain a bit later on. So my example is an if statement, an if command, followed by an extended expression, an extended test. And inside the double square brackets, we're comparing a variable called server, so it's $server equals tilde, and then it's being compared against a regular expression. And that regular expression is checking to see whether the server contains either hackerpublicradio.org or hobbypublicradio.org. And if either of them match, then the if command outputs an echo, this is HBR. Now, things to note here, again I'm referring forward, the regular expression is not enclosed in quotes. And it was the same when we looked at the glob and extended glob patterns in the last episode. Putting the expression in quotes will cause it to be treated as a string and not as the regular expression. In this particular case, it begins with a caret, or I call that thing circumflex, which anchors it to the start of the text. And inside, afterwards, after this caret, is two alternative sub-expressions which are enclosed in parentheses with a vertical bar between them. So the two strings are hacker and hobby. So you're prepared to deal with us with a string that begins with either hacker or hobby. Then it's followed by public radio. There's a full stop before ORG, and because that's a regular expression meta character, it needs to be escaped with a backslash. And the regular expression ends with a dollar, which anchors it to the end of the text. The return value of this comparison returns 0, which is true if the string matches the pattern, and 1, which is false otherwise. And the regular expression, if it's syntactically incorrect, then you get a return value of 2, which is also false, but you could find out more about it from the value if you needed to. You can make it case insensitive by using the shell option no case match. We mentioned this. This is very similar to the things we talked about last time with regard to glob patterns. So again, I was saying here that if you enclose the regular expression in quotes, then it's treated as a string, not a regular expression. So that's a little different from what you will find in other languages. A common convention is to store the regular expression in a bash variable and then use it as the right hand side of the expression. And this allows a regular expression to be built without worrying about the characters it contains being things that have another significance to bash. Things like an exclamation mark or a backslash, and indeed parentheses, can cause bash some problems. If, as you declare the variables, you define the variable it's enclosed in quotes, then all of those problems go away. When you use the variable, if you enclose that in quotes, then it's the same problem as before. It treats the expression as a string, not as a regular expression. Now, it says in the documentation that if any part of the regular expression is quoted, then that part is treated as a string. The actual quote from the GNU Bash manual is, "Any part of the pattern may be quoted to force the quoted portion to be matched as a string." Now, you would expect this to allow regular expression meta characters to be used literally inside these quotes, but I've not managed to get this to work, and I haven't found any advice while researching it. I've not found anybody who's managed to get this to work, nor indeed who've even bothered to try, as far as I can see. So I thought what I'd do at this point was to put together a script which tests this out. I did this for my own purposes in the first instance, and I thought that might be useful for you to look at. You can download it. It's called bash12_ex1.sh, and it's all linked in the long show notes, of course. So this is a complete standalone script, and it does the thing of comparing a server with either hacker or hobby public radio. So it begins with a declaration of a variable called server to contain hackerpublicradio.org. Then there's a for loop which sets a variable re. I tend to use re throughout these things just as a shorthand for regular expression, and that's followed by in, and then there's a list of strings, and each of these strings is a regular expression. There are three of them, and they do different things. So the first one is the regular expression we saw earlier on. The second one, in the second one, is enclosed in single quotes, but the full stop, the dot or period before ORG, is enclosed in double quotes. The third one is enclosed in double quotes, but the dot is enclosed in single quotes. So that's a list of things to set RE to. The next line is the do line. Then inside the body of this loop, we echo the regular expression we're actually using. Then we do the test. So it's again a case of if, and then in double square brackets, dollar server equals tilde dollar RE. Remember, RE is that value that's being set to a list of regular expressions. Close double brackets, semicolon, then echo. This is HBR, else echo no match, FI to close the if, then done to close the loop. So if you run this, you get back using regular expression, then it shows the first one, and it says this is HBR, so it matched that first one. Then it uses the second one, and it says no match, and the third one, no match. At the moment, I don't understand this. If you want to have a go at playing around with it and making it work, then please do so and let us know the outcome, because I would really like to know what that definition in the documentation is trying to say. It makes little sense to me. Well, it makes sense, but it doesn't work. Let's look at regular expression syntax then. Now, if you've been following some of my other shows, I've done series of shows on SED, and I'm currently doing a series with BEASY on ORC. They both have regular expressions in them, and we've talked about the operators and so forth in them. And this is similar, but not the same. Needs me to talk about it a bit, but I'm going to fly through it fairly rapidly. I've got a table of all of the expressions that you can use, the operators to be more precise, that you can use in a regular expression. So what is a regular expression? It's a pattern that describes a set of strings. Regular expressions are constructed in a similar way to arithmetic expressions by using various operators to combine smaller expressions. Fundamental building blocks are the regular expressions, the components that match a single character. Most characters, including all letters and digits, are regular expressions that match themselves. So putting a letter A in a regular expression means match an A, pretty obvious. There are meta characters that do other things, as we'll see in a moment. But if you want to treat that meta character in a non-meta way, then you proceed it with a backslash. Slightly confusingly, some regular expression operators contain backslashes, begin with backslashes, and that's just worth bearing in mind. And as I was alluding to before, there are various types of regular expressions used by the various tools and programming languages. So SED and ORC are different. Bash regular expressions use a form called extended regular expressions, usually written as ERE in capitals. And I've got a list of all the meta characters. You'll also find ERE type expressions in grep. If you use grep space minus capital E, then the regular expression that you use there would be ERE style. That's what the E stands for. Let's whiz through the list of operators and what they do. So the first one is the dot or full stop, which just represents a single character. Then we're into modifiers. First one is the asterisk. It modifies the item to the left, and it means that the item matches zero or more times. Question mark is the next one, another modifier, and they always modify to the left. That means the item matches zero or one time. Plus modifies again, and it matches one or more times. Then we get into modifiers which consist of numbers in curly brackets. So open curly bracket, then a number, close curly bracket, means it modifies the expression before it to match exactly that number of times. If you write it as open curly bracket, number, comma, nothing, close curly bracket, then it means match that number or more times. I'll just use N and M to refer to these numbers from now on, as I've done in the text. Open curly bracket, N, comma, M, close curly bracket, means make the item to the left match between N and M times. So 1,3 would be between 1 and 3 times. The next one, I'm not sure it's legal, but it works, is open curly bracket, then nothing, or a space if you wish, comma M. So it means between 0 and M times. So comma 3 means between 0 and 3 times. Just to save you typing the zero, I suppose, but I'm not sure I'd recommend it. I just put it in there because I typed it by accident and it worked. We've already seen the caret, which anchors the expression to the start of the line. It's referred to as matching the null character. This is a sort of virtual character considered to be at the start of a line. Dollar does the same sort of thing for the end of the line. Then there's a sort of range or a set enclosed in square brackets, single square brackets. These are a list of letters, so you might put A, B, C or something in there. But you can also use ranges like A hyphen C, which means everything from the first letter to the last letter, and it can be digits as well. We've seen these in other contexts if you've listened to any of my other shows. The vertical bar separates two regular expressions and is used to present two things or multiple things that might be alternatives in a match. And parentheses can enclose multiple alternative regular expressions. It groups regular expressions together, which you can use in alternatives and in other contexts, as we'll see. Then we come to some of the backslashed ones. Backslash lowercase b matches the empty string at the edge of a word. It's either edge, either at the front or at the back. Backslash capital B matches the empty string provided it's not at the edge of a word. So I've never used that, so it seems a little odd. I think it's more that if you want to signal something in the middle of a word, you could use that. But like I say, I've not really used it. I've not seen it being used very much. I should have done some examples of it, and I didn't. Sorry about that. Anyway, the last two are backslash and the less than sign, and that matches the empty string at the beginning of a word, and backslash greater than sign matches the empty string at the end of a word. These are very, very similar to what's used in sed and grep. Sed and awk. And grep, of course, since grep includes these. So that's pretty much my summary of regular expression. So what I want to do now is to dive into some examples that you can ponder and see how you use this stuff, because it's pretty dry until you actually see some working examples. What I've tried to do is to generate entire scripts that you can run for yourself, and they're all downloadable. So one of the things you're often wanting to do is to match a blank line, or a line which only contains spaces, or indeed white space is the term. And you would do that by a regular expression that consists of a caret followed by a dollar, which means a line that contains nothing, just a start and an end. You might put after the caret a thing that represents a number of spaces. You could actually put a space and then an asterisk, means zero to as many as you want spaces. But what I've used here is a different format, which I'll go into a little bit more detail on about later. But it consists of square bracket, pair of square brackets, so it's one of these set type things. And inside it is a thing called a character class, which consists of another pair of square brackets, and inside it there's a word with a colon each end of it. So in this case it's open square bracket, colon, blank, colon, close square bracket. So that's a special character class which represents characters which are referred to as white space. So it's things like a space and a tab. So here's my downloadable script. It's called bash12_ex2.sh, and it's got in it a declaration of a definition of a regular expression, which has got a caret at the front and a dollar at the end. Then it's got two character classes in it. The first one is two open square brackets, colon, digit, colon, two closed square brackets. So that's a character class inside a set. And follow that with a plus. And what digit means is any numbers 0 to 9. There's a bit more to it than that, but I'll leave that for the moment. That's followed by the blank that we've already seen. That's followed by an asterisk. So what you're trying to do there is to match a line that consists of any number of 1 to more digits at the beginning, followed by any number of, including 0, blanks, white spaces. Then there's a while loop, and the while, the test part of the while is read hyphen r line. So it's reading into a variable called line, and it's using minus r because it disables the treatment of backslashes, where backslash might mean, backslash n might mean a new line or whatever. So it turns that off. The done part of this while, we have a redirection, so it's a less than sign, which means the information is to come from whatever's on the right hand side of that. And what we have on the right hand side is a process substitution, which we looked at in an earlier show, which consists of a less than sign and then a thing in parentheses. The thing in parentheses is cat space minus lowercase n space, then in double quotes $0. What it's doing there is catting whatever $0 is with numbers. $0 is the name of the script that you're running. So inside the loop, we do a test in an extended test with the double brackets. We compare $line equal tilde $re, and we're using one of these command list type things. So after the two closed square brackets, we've got two ampersands and then continue. So if the line matches the regular expression that we declared and saved in the variable re, then we will continue. Continue is a command that causes a loop to skip any further commands within it, go to the end, and then loop further, continue the loop. And after this, we've got echo, and we're echoing the variable line. That's followed by an example of running it. Simply run this script, and all it does is it prints out itself, but it prints it out without blank line. And the reason we added a number of digits at the beginning of the regular expressions because we use cat minus n to cause the lines to be numbered. And you can see that you get line 1, you don't get line 2 because it's blank, you get line 3, 4, 5, 6, not 7 because it's blank, and so forth. So the overall effect is to print all the lines which are not blank after the line number, that is. So what I did, because I've introduced this character class business, we've seen it in passing in other contexts, but I've got hold of a table which I borrowed from a website and put into the notes here. There's a reference to where I got it from. POSIX, this is part of the POSIX specification, the character classes such as the square brackets, colon, digit, colon, close square brackets, and they're in an appendix at the end of these notes, so hopefully you'll find that useful. So example 2 then. Try to make something with a few more regular expression operators in it. And this time I've got an expression which begins with a backslash less than, which matches the start of a word, a dot followed by, in curly brackets, 4 comma, close square bracket. Then we've got square brackets TL. I should say that curly bracket thing matches 4 or more characters. The TL matches either the letter T or the letter L. Follow that with ING and then a backslash greater than, which matches the end of the word. So what we're doing here is we're trying to match words ending in ING with it, where the ING is preceded by a T or an L, so ting or ling, with 4 more letters preceding it, 4 more characters to be exact. And the script uses the dictionary in user share dict words, as I've done before in other scripts, to process. So bash 12 ex3.sh is the script, and it's pretty simple. Apart from that regular expression I just went through, it's got a loop which reads from a process substitution, and in the process substitution we're using the shuf command, which I've used before. We're using the argument minus n100, which means shuf is for getting random words from a file, random lines from a file, and the minus n option requests the number. The file is user share dict words. So what that loop is doing is it's grabbing 100 words from that dictionary file, and it's feeding it to the same sort of regular expression in an if type thing, and it's echoing the line if it matches. So I won't go into further details because it's similar to the previous one in that respect. So I ran it for testing purposes and it came back with 3 words, which were airmailing, end of L-I-N-G, and is long enough, squinting, and intersecting. So you could use that to generate the horse battery, whatever it is, passphrase thing that was quite popular at one point. So we stored the regular expression in a variable, and I just made the note that as I said before, it's wise to do that. But in this particular case, there are characters in that regular expression which would have been misinterpreted by bash. And I tested it without, and the expression effectively doesn't work. At least I couldn't get it to work. I'm sure there's some combination of backslashes or something in there that would make it work. But the simplest thing is just to put it in a variable. Example three, again, nothing world-shattering, but this one is a script which checks an argument that you give it, and it checks to see that it's a properly formatted ISO 8601 date, which consists of 4-digit year, hyphen, 2-digit month, 2-digit day, with hyphens in between. So the regular expression in this case, it consists of a circumflex or a caret followed by in square brackets 0-9. We could have used that digit character class, but it seems so laborious for this sort of case. Close square brackets, then follow that with in curly brackets 4. So we're looking for a 4-digit number, that's the year. Then in parentheses we have a hyphen, because that's what's going to follow the four-digit year. And then in square brackets 0-9 square bracket, then that's followed by in curly brackets 2. So we're looking for 2 digits at that point. And then we close the parentheses, because we're going to do that twice. And then we, after the closed parenthesis, we have a in curly brackets a 2. And then the dollar for the end of line. So it's just a shorthand way of saying we want 4 digits, a hyphen, 2 digits, and a hyphen, and 2 digits. And because the hyphen and 2 digits part is repeated, we can put it in parentheses and add a repeat count on the end of it. So the other thing in the script is that the next bit of it contains an if which checks the variable $hash, which is a universal thing that you find in all scripts, which is the count of arguments. We want one argument, and if that's not equal to one, then nobody's given us an argument. So, or they've given us too many. So we echo a usage message which says how to use the script. It will echo the name of the script followed by ISO 8601 date. Then that's followed by an exit 1. So it causes the script to exit with an error flag in case you used wrongly. Then, assuming everything's good, you just compare $1, which is the first argument that you give it, with the regular expression that was created earlier. And if it matches, then it's a valid date. If it doesn't match, it's not a valid date. And there's a few examples of running it further down, which we simply type the command bash 12 hyphen underscore, I should say, ex4.sh with no argument. It comes back and says, now this is how to use. Then I did one with 2018-09-XX, and it comes back and says, no, that's not valid because the XX. And then I gave it today's date, actually, the 15th of September, and it says it's a valid date. Example 4 is quite similar to the previous one, and this time we're checking that an IP address in version 4 style IP address is valid, and give that as an argument. But it does a bit more sophisticated validation than example 3, but I just put that in for a bit of interest. It's not a regular expression type thing. And there are ways that you could use a regular expression in this context, but we're going to deal with how you do that next time. So the regular expression in this case, because an IP address consists of 4 groups of 1 to 3 digits, and the digits have to be the numbers, I should say, should be in the range 0 to 255, and each group is separated from the other one by a dot. So that turns into a regular expression which consists of a caret, open parenthesis, in square brackets 0-9, close square brackets, and then curly brackets 1, 3. So that's 1 to 3 digits. Then follow that with the full stop preceded by a backslash, close parenthesis, and then follow that with in curly brackets 3. So we're going to have 3 of these up to 3-digit numbers with a full stop after each one. We'll do that 3 times. Then that's followed by 0 to 9 one to three of them, and that makes the group of four. So that's pretty simple regular expression. Again, we're checking to see that the scripts have been called with one argument, and putting out a usage message otherwise. And then the next thing is an if statement, which compares $1 with the expression. So if it matches, then we do a bit more testing. If it doesn't match, then we simply say it's not a valid IP address. So the thing that's being done inside the true branch, the one where it does match, looks if it matches, it matches the regular expression, is a for loop where we set a variable d to the contents of $1 after it's been processed with parameter substitution. The parameter substitution used is that the full stops are replaced by spaces. So the for loop sees four numbers separated by spaces and we'll iterate through them. So for each one, we test it to see in an extended test whether it's less than zero or it's greater than 255. And if that's true, then we echo a message to say that it's not a valid IP address, and we say which number in the four groups is invalid, and then exit with a one as an error. But if that passes, then we can just echo with the fact that the IP address is valid. So I ran a little test on this, ran it without an argument just to prove that it does the right thing there. I ran it with 192.168.0. Says that's not valid because there's a missing group of digits on the end, missing number on the end. Gave it 192.168.0.5 and that's valid. And then I tried it 192.168.0.256 and it says it's not a valid IP address because it contains 256, which is out of range. So that's downloadable as bash12_ex5.sh. So that's my set of examples. And next time, we're going to finish this whole subsection by looking at how you can do capture groups inside Bash's regular expressions. We've seen these in the context of sed and org. So parentheses are used either to define alternatives or to allow a modifier to apply to sub-expressions, as we've already seen. But they also define capture groups, and we've seen this before, if you've been following my series. So we'll look at this next time, and that's all we're going to do this time. Okay, bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.